I want to thank God for every one of you today, for this very special time that we can spend together in the Word of our Lord. Tonight, I want to reflect on something that I talked with you about a few years back. I don't know if you still remember this, but I do hope that you do. A few years back, I asked you to never forget five things. Five things you must never forget. Let me see how well you do. Five things. I am loved. I am chosen. That's good. I have a purpose. That's good. I am authorized. That is good. So there's one more. Five things you shouldn't forget. I am sent ordained. Well, I will accept that, for I have a destiny. Five things. I want to reflect with you about those five things again tonight. And I'm so glad that I got all of the statements. Well, it was not all from one person, but I got it from this house. And that is important. I am loved. Why is that important? Because that is one of the foundational things that you must know if you want to know answered prayers. You are not going to pray the prayer of faith if you do not know that you are loved. And in this wise, that you are loved while you were yet a sinner. That when you did not know God, God loved you. God loved me when I didn't even know anything about him. So now that I know about him, how much more can I experience the love of God? It is a fundamental aspect of your walk of faith, love. Because the Bible tells us that faith worketh by love. If you don't know that you are loved, your faith will not work. Because you will be operating in life on the shaky ground of condemnation, self-righteousness, performance, and on and on and on and on and on and on and on. When you know that you're loved, you know that the love of God for you was not based on your performance, but that God loved you, period. He chose to love you. He made the decision to love you. The God who knows everything about you loves you. The God who knows everything about me loves me. He loved me when I was good, knowing that someday I may fall. And he loved me in spite of what he knew about my fall tomorrow or yesterday or today. God loved me. God loves me. He loves me. He knows my name. He knows my address. He has not forgotten about me. When I know that God loves me, I do not spend my time worrying. It's a fundamental thing. First thing, that you got to settle in your life. I am loved. You know what? The monkey loves its little monkey. It is you that looks at the monkey and says, ugly monkey. The mama does not say, ugly monkey. Are you with me? Have you seen some really ugly dogs? Yeah, some things like that. Maybe you should Google it. Ugly dogs, and you will be surprised what you will see. The mama likes the ugly dog. God loves me. Why? I came out of him. We don't all look the same. Maybe you've seen some ugly babies. But the mama loves the ugly baby. Just love. That is natural love, human love. How is it that God, who is defined as love, the essence of who he is love. What will he do but love? God loves me. You don't know how much I just messed up. I messed up royally. But if you know that God loves you, you get up and you say, Papa, I messed up. I blew it. I can't believe what I just did. God, have mercy on my soul. I am loved. Know that. Settle it. Because when you settle that, what happens is that you have the gift of righteousness. You know what the gift of righteousness is? The gift of righteousness is the love of God. That's what gives you access. Because access is not just one-sided. Access of God is you willing to approach God. For he says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Access to God is that God gave his only begotten Son to make it possible for you and I to come into the presence of God, come into the rest of God. And it is founded on the foundation of God loves me. And when you accept the love of God, you boldly come. But if you don't know that God loves you, you don't come. You don't come. You give up. You surrender to the attacks and the condemnation of the world. God loves me. You just did something really bad. Everybody knows about it. They are broadcasting it all around the world. The real thing that you should feel is all kinds of shame. You want to bury your head in the sand. I tell you what you need to do. Say, yes, it is true. I messed up, but I thank God. God loves me. That drives the devil crazy. Because at that very moment, you cease to stay under condemnation. And you choose the everlasting love of God. And you walk boldly. The prodigal said, yeah, I took what I shouldn't be taking. I messed up. I blew everything. Now I'm here with these pigs. But I remember this. In my father's house, they're doing okay over there. Let me go back. Maybe even if he just accepts me as a servant, I'll be fine. But what does he find? His father is out there looking out for him. He left, willingly left, But his father is there waiting and watching, waiting and watching. And he saw him afar off. And the father takes off like a speeding bullet, heading towards the son. Covers the rest of the ground, comes to the son, and the son is saying, I am not worthy, I am not worthy. Forget that. I'm so glad to have you back. Get him the robe, clean him up, give him the robe, give him a nice fat signet ring. That is your bank account, that's your credit card. Kills the fatted calf, throws a party, because love covereth a multitude of sins. Love. That does not mean you go practicing sin. But it says to you that if you mess up, there is still room to come back. And if God loves me, I have to extend that same love to the brethren. Just love brothers and sisters, love people. God didn't call you to live in the seat of judgment and condemnation, to strip people all over the place and make them look like they are nothing. God called you to make certain that you don't break the twig. You bring restoration to people's lives. That's why we are here. That's why we're here. Our perfection is founded in the fact that we love God and God loves us. That's where our perfection is. God loves me. And because of that love, he's ready when I confess my sins, because I know I am loved. I don't have to lie. Why do people lie? They lie because of fear and because they think somebody is going to stop loving them. Most people lie. There are other reasons why people lie, but that's foundational. Yes, they want to hide the truth. They want to not whatever, but that's fear. But perfect love casts out fear. It causes you to be transparent. This is me. What can I do? This is me. And we need to live in that realm of love. The second thing you must never forget is that you're chosen of God, picked out. To choose means that you were picked. Out of the masses, God picked you. I am chosen. He said in John 15, you didn't choose me, I chose you. What is he saying? I chose you. Because if our eyes are open to a God who is so amazing, so awesome, so glorious, so wonderful, it's not a big decision to choose God. A God who can meet all of your needs, provide for you in every area, heal you, restore you, establish you, promote you, enlarge your coast and all of that. But for God who knows everything about you to choose you, that's a different story. So why did God choose me? God chose me to fulfill a divine mandate. And this is where we'll start talking about destiny and purpose. God chose me for a reason. God chose me because of what he sees in me, and what he sees in me is more good than evil. Think about that. What God sees in me is more good than evil. What does God see in a Saul that becomes Paul? He sees a guy that is feisty. He sees a guy that's a goal-getter. He sees a guy that he can trust to go all the way. But what did people see? People saw a murderer. They saw a guy that was willing to go all the way to another country to kill people. That's what they saw. But God saw different. He said, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying what you think and what people define as weakness in you, that God can look at that same thing and see positive things about it. God can look at your stubbornness that everybody's complaining about. Say, you are so stubborn. When will you stop being stubborn? And God says, I like this stubbornness. I can take this bad thing and flip it. And this stubborn guy will be able to stand in the face of all kinds of resistance and open his mouth and tell everybody where to go if they don't change. So God chooses some very crude people. Yeah. He chooses some very crude people that will just come. They can speak F-U all day long, and God will choose them. Because this guy is not a wimp. I can use him. I am chosen. I am chosen for a reason. Even in my weakness, God chooses me. It's not only because of my strength. Does that mean that I should not get polished and become less rude? No, it doesn't mean that. It just means flip it. Stop saying F you and all of that, and be nice, but still be bold and be strong. When you stop being what God picked you to be, you will compromise yourself. Look at that Paul guy. Paul guy is so firm. He's telling you about what God is doing and what you should not do. You should not circumcise people. He confronts Peter, and one day he goes wimpy. He's bold. I'm going all the way to Jerusalem. I'm going. Prophetic words came and said, don't go. The guy who has this garment, they're going to mess with you. I'm going, I'm going, I'm going, I'm going, I'm going. He gets there and he starts doing what he said he wouldn't do, circumcising somebody. Point is this: in all of your whatever it is, humble yourself and follow God's directives. But was God in that? Absolutely. Absolutely. So how was God involved in him being chosen and him going all the way to Jerusalem and then being hauled out to the court? Because God told him already from the very beginning. God saw that. God saw it. God saw it. And God said, you are going to stand before the kings and testify of me. You are going to go far, man. You're going to go far. I know your stubbornness, and I'm going to work with it. I know you. And I chose you. Are you with me so far? I am chosen. I'm chosen even before the foundations of the world. God chose me. Look at the statement of God in Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. And let's take it from about verse 3 of Jeremiah 1. Said it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, watch this, before you were formed in the belly, I knew you. Before you were formed in the belly, I knew you. That is, before your father and your mother got involved, I knew you. Before you were born, you came out of the womb, I sanctified you. In other words, I chose you, I separated you, and then I ordained thee a prophet. When? He said, before. He said, before. Before, before, before. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I chose you. What does Jeremiah say? Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. For I'm a child. I can't speak. I'm a child. Moses says, I'm a stammerer. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Don't say you're a child. And the point then is this, when God is declaring over you that you are chosen, you do not allow your limitations to speak. You don't. You allow God to be God in your life, and you allow the very fact that you have been chosen of God to be the determining factor that causes you to stand so you can speak. So don't be afraid of their faces. Verse 8 says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. I'm with you to deliver you. I'm not telling you that you're not going to face issues. Yeah, people are going to come against you. They're going to try to contradict you. They're going to try to resist you. But I am your deliverer. Amen? I deliver you. Man, they're going to throw you inside a well, man. But I am your deliverer. I'm going to get you out of it. Why? You have a destiny. There's a destiny that God has for you. That destiny has to be fulfilled. When you know that you have a destiny, you do two things. You make sure that you don't thwart it, you don't sidetrack that destiny. And secondly, you are bold to recognize that nothing when you are loved and chosen of God, is going to stop you from fulfilling that destiny. That anyone who is going to try to come against you, to destroy you, to stop you from fulfilling that destiny, will die before you die. You have a destiny. Whatever it takes for God to move me out of the way of that dangerous plot of the evil one, God will do it. I have a destiny. Amen? I have a destiny, and I will fulfill that destiny because God will carry me by his ability, by his wisdom, by his presence to fulfill that divine destiny that he has for me. I will not fail. Amen? I will not fail. I have a destiny. I will accomplish that destiny that God has ordained for me to accomplish. Even if God has to use the devil to help me get to my destiny, he will. I have a destiny. Listen. Joseph has a destiny. He has a destiny. And every trial that he's going through is leading him to his destiny. Everything that's happening in his life is leading him to his destiny. The good times, the bad times, the ugly times, they're leading him to his destiny. His destiny is tied to his purpose. His purpose is to be a problem solver. That's his purpose. You are going to be a problem solver, and you are going to be a leader. His destiny and his purpose are linked together. Those two things, they link you together. So here he is. God shows him the end to start him. Shows him the end by showing him the vision of the sheaves bowing down to him. He shows him the vision of the moon and the sun bowing down and the stars bowing down to him. What does this mean? The father says, do you mean your mother and myself are going to bow down to you? So, but when does this start? It started when, first of all, he was loved and was chosen. He was chosen when the garment, this precious, special, multicolored garment was placed on him. Chosen, 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 chosen. God chose him. And the enemy starts attacking him. When you are loved and you are chosen, be certain the attacks will come. But destiny and purpose will carry you through. He has a destiny. His destiny is at the end of the road. But purpose will carry him through his destiny. So, his brothers are looking at him, and what are they seeing? They are seeing a brother that is a big problem to them, and they are fighting against him, and they're resisting him. They're doing everything at him, and when they see him coming, bringing a solution to their problem, they are plotting and saying, let's see what's going to happen now. This guy's come here. He's bringing rations to help them. But they grab him, they take off his garment off of him, and they haul him and dump him inside a pit. They thought that he was a problem. But this is also true, that when people see you as a problem, destiny and purpose, your destiny and your purpose will release you, because for him, for his particular case, he was a problem solver. And God brought people into his life at that point who saw him not as a problem, but as a solution. The solution that's going to satisfy them. They're going to take him, and they're going to now go sell him and make money out of him. Are you with me so far? If you're with me, say amen. Amen. He sold to Potiphar. And in Potiphar's house, he is a solution. He's bringing order and hope and strength and life to that family. But somebody's looking at him with the wrong look. And now the problem solver becomes a problem. And he ends up being accused, and he's thrown where? In jail. You might be looking at his life and saying, where is this young man going? Every time something happens that is positive, he loses it. What is wrong with you? Now he's in prison. And what is he doing in prison? He's solving problems. When you know what your purpose is, you will fulfill the destiny God has called you to. He did not allow his circumstance to shift him away from his sense of purpose. And what the enemy will want to always do is shift you from your sense of purpose. That's what he wants to do. Shift you from your purpose. For as he shifts you from your purpose, he robs you of fulfilling your destiny. That's why it's important for everyone to find out, what has God called me to do? What did he choose me to accomplish? Why am I here? Why am I in this church? And not in the church down the street? Why am I sitting down here right now? Why did God bring me here? You got to have that clarity. Because that's part of your purpose. You're not anywhere that God is not leading you to by His Spirit. And you will never be anywhere that God has not already accounted for. Let me say that again. You're never going to be anywhere that God has not accounted for. Because He said, I will never leave you, nor what? Forsake you. I'm going to be there with you. You want to go into jail? I'm going to be there in jail with you. But let's be here for the right reasons. And so he was solving problems, taking care of everybody, taking care of all the other prisoners. And then he finds two guys that are fellow prisoners that are sad. And he goes because he's there for others. Huh? He's there because of others. Remember, I preached to you, I shared with you the message, the power of others. We are all here for others. If you don't know that, I don't know where you are. Every one of us are here because of other people. It's other people that really make you relevant. Your life started with others, and it will end with others. That's the way it is. Others gave you your name. Others gave you your first bath, and others will give you your last bath. Others. You earn wages because of what others are doing. Or what you are doing for others. Everything about your life, there's not one area of your life that's not about others. And you've got to find out what about others God has called you to accomplish. Because that sense is what will cause you to fulfill your destiny. So he's there and he's watching for others and ministering to them and interpreting their dreams. And they go out, they forget about him. Does he go bitter? No, he keeps on doing what he's doing. And one day, at the fullness of time, he's removed from that prison and he comes to the palace. Now he is at the door of his destiny. It's right there, right there, right there, right there. There he is. I had a dream. These guys can't even interpret it. Oh, okay, okay. Tell it to me. Tell him the dream. And he interprets it. He's a problem solver. He never lost sight of that. I'm a problem solver. And I don't care what people do to try to discourage me from fulfilling my mandate. I will continue to do what God called me to do. If I looked at people and what people have done, I will stop preaching. Yeah. If I look at what people have said, what I've heard directly in front of them, and what I heard them saying, because God carried me by the Spirit to the midst of them while they were talking. They didn't see me, but I was there. I would say, what? How dare you? I just say, forget this. But no, that is losing sight of your purpose and your destiny. You stick with the program and you do what God has called you to do faithfully. Now, when you follow through purpose and destiny and you are now at Pharaoh's gate, you get authorized. I am authorized. I am authorized to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I have been authorized. Now, when you are authorized, you are empowered to fulfill your purpose. You are authorized to live out the fulfillment of your destiny. And every one of us, must never forget those five things. I am loved. I am chosen. I have a destiny. I have a purpose. That's the reason. That's my assignment. My purpose is my assignment. And we all have an assignment. And what you and I need to do is fulfill that assignment. There's a dear sister, and I could say the same thing about every single one here today. Because different ones are doing different things and accomplishing different things and helping. Everyone seated here, to one extent or the other, you are fulfilling a particular mandate, doing something that is causing the glory of God to be manifested in the lives of people. And if you're not, then you need to engage yourself in doing what it is God has called you to do. Because there is no useless persons in the kingdom of God. There is not one person that doesn't have an assignment in the kingdom of God. Even Judas had a reason. Huh? Even Judas had a reason. He had a purpose. Because he was chosen also. What was his purpose? To help Jesus fulfill his destiny. Without a Judas, Jesus would not end up at the cross. You should thank God for Judas. Yeah. Even Jesus thanked God for Judas. He called him his friend. Is that not true? Judas kissed him. And by that act pointed out that this is the guy you need. This is the guy you want here, right here. and Jesus says, my friend. Peter had a different purpose. Yeah. Peter had a completely different purpose. Peter was feisty. Peter is a loud mouth. Peter is the one that had the revelation. And Jesus said, on the foundation of this revelation, my church is going to be built. And the next day, Jesus is calling him, Satan, get behind me. Because Judas is trying to stop him, or rather, Peter is trying to stop him from going to the cross. But that's my purpose, and that's my destiny. You're not my friend if you're not helping me to get to my point of reference. You're my enemy. You're Satan to me. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying celebrate everybody in your life. Because they're there for a reason. You may not understand the reason, but celebrate and say, thank you, Lord. Because there are some people that are in your life to get you on your knees. You will not have a prayer life without them. Your faith will not work for your finances if they were not in your life. So you thank God every day for them. They may end up in hell. That's true. But you know, because of them, you stayed in the straight and the narrow. They were there for a reason. Thank God. Hallelujah. Because when you are in that place, you are authorized to fulfill every assignment God has called you to. I am authorized. Authorized to do what? To represent God. Authorized to do what? To bring healing to the sick. Authorized to do what? To preach this gospel of the kingdom. Authorized to do what? To lift up the weak. Authorized to do what? To bring solutions to people that have problems. I'm authorized. I'm anointed. Whatever it is that you are learning in life is part of the grace of God on your life for the fulfillment of that destiny. Just before my mom passed away, one of my dear sisters, who now is next to me, started studying to be a particular kind of a nurse. Because of what she was studying at that particular time, she was able to engage the doctors and the nurses that were taking care of our mom in a very intelligent way. She knew exactly what questions to ask, what, you know, and get them on their tippy toes to make certain that they did the right thing, because there's this person that is speaking our language and knows everything. They thought that she might have been a doctor or some high-class nurse. She was just studying. She was just taking the particular classes that were necessary for that particular situation. She knew exactly what to ask, what to say, what kind of thing they should be doing, how they should be doing it. And she's looking at pictures and asking the right questions. Why is this thing like this? I am seeing this picture. I just got a snapshot and I see this. Why is that like that? Are you guys doing this? Who is this? The class she was taking right then. I don't think whether she got an A or a B or a C or whatever, but she knew exactly what was happening. And the people would say, oh, yes, yes, madam, yes. Oh, yeah, we are doing this. I need your reports. Send me your reports. I said, what? We're busy laughing behind over here because we know you just started taking these classes. It was for a purpose. There was a reason for it. Nothing happens in your life that is happening by accident. It's happening because it is part of the agenda. Drink your rest in that experience. Say, God, I'm in this situation. I may not know all the reasons why I'm here, but I know this. All things work together for good. To whom? To those that love God and have been what? Called according to his what? Purpose. That's what we're talking about. That's it. Everything works together for my good. Why? I love God and I've been called according to his purpose. Chosen. Huh? Called, chosen, according to his purpose, my destiny and my purpose. Those, Romans 8 and verse 31 or 33, and I'll wrap up with that. Romans 8 should say something like, I'll take it from there. I think it's verse 33. It says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of whom? Of Christ. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake are we killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than what? Conquerors. Amen? We are more than what? Conquerors. More than conquerors. More than conquerors. More than conquerors. Through him that what? Loved us. That's where we started. God loves me. What does that mean? Makes me more than conqueror. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is so powerful. It speaks to the heart of the issue. And the word of God says, those he called, he predestinated. Those he predestined, he called. Those he predestinated, he called. And those he called, he justified. That's in Romans 8. Those he justified, he shall glorify. Amen? He shall glorify. And that glorification is part of the authorization that you and I experience. And with those words, let us bow our heads and let us pray. Thank you, Father, for grace. Thank you, Lord, for mercy. Thank you, Lord, O God, that your word is forever true. You have, God, chosen us because you loved us with an everlasting love. You have predestined us. You have set a purpose in place in our lives, and you have authorized us. May we never forget these spiritual principles as we walk with you on a daily basis. Father, be exalted in every aspect of our lives, and may we not fall short of this grace and of this glory. But Lord, O God, whenever that time comes, when we stand before you, may it be said from your mouth, well done, thou good and faithful servant, all because we never forgot that we're loved and chosen of you, that we have a destiny and a purpose, and that we use the authority that you've given to us. For as many as are led by your Spirit, they are the sons of God. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful grace. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for every one of you. This Wednesday, we'll continue with our time of studying the Word of God together. And, of course, Friday will be a time of prayer. And, of course, Sunday morning and Sunday evening next, the Word of the Lord shall come forth from this place and impact the lives of everyone that God has privileged us to share with. And we will wrap up by doing this declaration together, the declaration that's on the screen. It says here, this is the year of the underdog. My renewal, restoration, revival, and resurrection life. My year of elevation, my crossover year, the year of prophetic fulfillment, year of indisputable favor, my year of transformation, the year of God's release, my year of unprecedented favor, grace, and possibilities, renewal, restoration, revival, and resurrection life, my year of supernatural fruitfulness and birthing. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. Honor God with your giving. Those of you listening online, you may do so also. And may God continue to increase us. And remember, when you give for souls. It is not projects. It's not for your private increase. The increase will come because we first honor God by giving for souls. Remember that. And may God increase you on every side. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night.